B-Pod Studios.
Now. Sports talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
A sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
We got the place wiped out in record time today. Getting into a rhythm here.
A piece of cake.
Iso.
Hump day, baby.
Hey, T-Bone, did your computer log you in yet?
Mine did.
I love how Zoe is logged in and watching Dr. Pimple Popper before T-Bone's computer will load.
I love how I have to sit right behind it, too.
Yeah. And
that'll wake you up.
T-Bone's computer, his terminal back there is a little jammed up.
You ever get itchy like here on the side or like in the corner?
It's been doing
five
the circle?
Minutes. Yep.
B-Rob, I know B-Rob still gets
can
blackheads.
Can B-Rob play it from where he is?
B-Rob looks like he's 17. He still gets blackheads. McCone, you ever get one like inside the nose or behind the ear?
Let me tell you where the worst place right to here? Get one is. In your ear. If you ever had one in your ear before?
Yeah, we can pull one up here.
Like, I'm not talking something like that. I'm just saying like a little one.
Right.
You got to get that out.
Yeah, you
that
do.
That could be painful.
And that's where they have to get the circular thing at the end of a metal. And
push it down.
And it kind of oozes through the middle. Ooh. And you can pull the blackhead out that way. This will get you going on a Wednesday, though.
Oh, I mean, that gets you going every day.
That makes you want to wash your face.
That gets you going every day.
This is why kids should wash their face, yes.
It gets the people going. You let me know, T-Bone.
I'm almost logged in. Talk about blackheads for like 30 more seconds.
No. I'm not going to do that. The Red Sox lost again last night, in case you're wondering.
0-4 since Jim Murray got called out to be better. Oh, man. Did you see his tweet last night?
I can tell you this. They're not worth watching anymore. I can tell you that.
Whoa.
I made it to the end last night, but they're probably not worth your time.
Well, you got DeGrom going tonight, so you want to see him pitch.
Well, I mean, I'm still watching. I didn't say I was tapping out yet.
I'll watch tonight and I'll watch Friday night. Friday night Yankees, like, you got that one circled. You just hope that thing doesn't go 19-3 or something, you know? You want it to be respectable. It's the first time he faced the Yankees this year, and that's what we really grade things off. And that kind of should teach Heim Bloom. He's in a different market, right?
8-3 last night, and the Red Sox were down 3-0 in the second inning again.
Once again,
they went down early.
It's demoralizing, I'm sure, for a lot of the players that aren't pitchers. I'm talking about like guys like Bogarts, Benintendi, who's getting messed with. J.D. Martinez, how do you come to work every day during a pandemic, and this is what your general manager or your collective group of people that are going to have their hands in baseball ops are going to put out there for pitchers for you?
Here's my question, and it was my question before the game last night. So let me just tell you that this is not at all a second guess or hindsight or any of those things, because I made sure I tweeted it out before the game on the record. Not a fan of that lineup last night whatsoever.
Why not?
Not a fan.
You sure?
There's a couple of guys missing in that lineup last night.
I mean, they've played a bunch of games. You got to get some rest.
Mitch Moreland should have been in the lineup over Michael Chavis.
How's Mitch Moreland not in the lineup?
Well, I mean, Chavis last year, I think, batted like .220 against lefties. There's lefty on the mound last night to start the game.
Oh, so he was. Okay.
Moreland should have been in there over Chavis, number one.
Yeah.
And the other one that is an easy second guess.
Right fielder?
Is Andrew Benintendi, who is now batting ninth last night, which I don't believe he's done since maybe he was first called up. Andrew Benintendi was batting ninth, and that meant that with Benintendi in the lineup, Verdugo was out of the lineup last night, which is to me, when you are 1-3 and you have had three straight, I would say bad losses, demoralizing type of losses, as Jerry Remy had termed it at one point. When you've had that and you're trying to get something going and you're trying to go in the right direction, sorry, that's two easy decisions that went the wrong way in that lineup last night. Which begs the question, who the hell's making out this lineup card? And credit to all of the writers and those who are covering the team on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. They asked the manager, Ron Renicki, prior to the game after seeing this lineup, who the hell is making out this lineup card? Is it you, Ron Renicki, interim manager? Or is it Heim Bloom, Brian O'Halloran, and all the guys upstairs? Is it the front office? Is it the nerds?
Yeah.
Is Carmine up there?
The computer, the we spit stuff out, right?
Right. Who's making out this lineup card? And there are parts of it, like J.D. Martinez batting second, that you look at and say, well, this is very analytic-y that you've got J.D. Martinez batting second. He's now batting 250 after going 0-for-4 last night. And I don't know. Does he look good so far?
No.
He looked good Friday, I guess.
He looks robotic.
He hit a ball on Friday night that would have been out. Was it Friday or Saturday? I'm losing track of all the games now. There's been five.
See, it's hard for me to believe like that type of guy that spends as much time studying it and understanding it and trying to adjust angles and all that is going to change anything to where he looks something different. I think part of it, too, is...
But this whole season has forced him to.
I know, yeah. But there's no fans in the stands, so everything just seems to slow down even more.
I just think J.D. Martinez is a creature of habit.
Right.
As we've been preached to many times. I don't think he loves batting second. He hit a ball down the right field line the other night. They had a great stat on Nesson that where the ball landed in Fenway Park, it would have been out in 28 of 30 major league parks. But it landed in. So he did have that go. But I don't know. I just don't think he's looked his best yet. It's early. So there are parts of it that I look at and say, oh, that's got to be the guys upstairs. And then there are parts like last night where I say, well, this is either a dummy manager or they're trying to tank the season. And we'll get to more on that. But let's hear from Ron Renicki. Okay. Ron, who fills out the lineup card every day?
Ron.
When you talk about getting a lineup from the – or not a lineup, but the numbers from the analytic department, how much, I guess, time is spent each day? Or is there a meeting between the front office, the coaches, and the analytics department about, like, you know, lineups? Or, you know, do you guys do a Zoom meeting for an hour a day? Or what's that process
right.
like?
No, we don't. What it is they'll send us the information they have. It could be the first day of the series. It's matchups for maybe it just depends. It could be a week out. It's just helping us to put all the information together.
I can just sit there and see Bill Parcells getting some notes from upstairs from our analytics department. I'm like, what running game? What run should you call on third and one or third and short? Or he just take the computer and run upstairs and
shove it
up the guy's
rear. That's not a good analogy because this sport is entirely different.
I understand it, and this is the way this sport is heading.
I would say more than half the league is got the guys upstairs putting the lineup together for you. I mean, I think that
there's something based on
daily part of the job has been getting taken away from managers for years. So I don't think that it's unusual if the guys upstairs are contributing to the lineup
or
putting that thing together.
Yeah.
But he's saying that doesn't happen.
But he says I'm getting collective information.
More from Renicki.
Yeah.
The medical department also sends in a list to me with numbers on how much effort and these guys have been putting into being on the field, who needs a day off, who's at high risk because they've been playing too often. So all of this is gathered together by us sometimes the night before to make up the lineup and decide who's playing. Sometimes I come in during the day and talk to Brad and see who's doing well. Like Bogey, we wanted to know today when he woke up how he was feeling. Is he okay to go? So some of it's made up the day before, but the information comes to us. And it's not about so much – you know, who's in the lineup every day, just the numbers on matchups and and what the, you know, I want to know what are the numbers saying is the most optimal lineup that you can put out there.
Oh, man.
And then from there, just who fits and who makes the most sense.
Not Peraza leading off.
Oh, man, there's a lot of, that's a convoluted answer right there.
Jesus Christ.
But at one point he did say, quote, they never send me down a lineup. To which I would say, as much as this goes against what I believe in, which is you hire a good manager, you let the guy manage.
But they grade their amount of effort? They put a number on that? How's the effort been, Peter?
I would say they should start sending down a lineup. I think they need to help him and send him a lineup every day. I would never otherwise advocate for the guys upstairs pulling all the strings. In this case, I am. Interim manager Ron Renicke, who is not going to be here, we hope, beyond this year. Because does he want numbers? What numbers would you need to know that Andrew Benintendi is off to a wretched start and Verdugo is not? And Verdugo had to this is my favorite part of this. Verdugo had to inform his manager last week that he hit lefties well. Did you guys hear this story?
No, I did not.
Renicke admitted that he thought for some reason that Verdugo didn't hit lefties well. Verdugo himself went to Renicke and said, "Hey,
whoa.
I hit lefties well. What the hell? He batted over 300 last year against lefties. He's just fine against lefties." Brutal. What the hell's going on over there?
You think analytics would catch that?
You think where are those guys?
Yeah, no kidding.
Where are those guys? Where are those guys? What are you doing? Where are you? Save this man. Which then just, again, begs this question. Do they have the input? Do you believe Renicke when he says they don't send down the lineup? And if they do have input or they're not putting in input when they should, are the Red Sox tanking the year? Is that what we're watching right here?
I don't know if you could phrase it as tanking the year. I don't think they're tanking the year. Are they wiping the slate clean? And this is Bloom's. This is all going to be Bloom's design as we move forward here. I think maybe this is the beginning of that. And maybe you could equate it to tanking. Because we're not used to this. This is unheard of. This is unheard of who they're rolling out there to start on the mound. It's embarrassing. It really is. I'd like to show up to work. You're down 3-0. Start of every freaking game. Maybe you're late turning on the game. Oh, 4-0. Guess what? I'm good. No thanks. Not tonight. Was gonna, but I kind of took a whiz on it. Yeah. It's demoralizing.
We've seen other teams tank. We saw the Astros most famously tank for draft position.
Players
build a franchise through tanking. I've seen it done.
You won too recently here, and I think you still have guys that know how to win that wouldn't accept this. Like Tomasi said something on NBC Sports Boston, one of the shows, forgets which one. He said, "Wow, I just got out there just hearing the tone of Bogarts, and in relation to the pitching, and hey, we know our lineup's good. We know we can hit. We're going to hit." But he just sounded defeated. Like, you're four freaking games in.
I'll be honest.
And you got your best player hanging his head.
I'm an optimist when it comes to the Red Sox this year. As you know, I was just last week talking about it before the season started.
B8.
I just thought they were a bad team and had no pitching, and it was due to the fact that they're trying to reset the luxury tax. I did not consider tanking until I had tweeted that yesterday, that this lineup sucks. There's problems with this lineup. And I got at least 5 or 6 tweets back, like, well, yeah, they're tanking. From Red Sox fans, not from people that were crapping on the team. And I got plenty of those too.
Yeah.
But people that were like, yeah, this is obvious what they're doing. And I thought, oh my God, is that what's going on? Let's talk about that. Is Chaim Bloom tanking the season? Are the Red Sox tanking for better draft position to rebuild their farm system?
Look at the ERA.
Is that what we're watching?
Look at the ERA.
Let's talk about it, your calls and your reaction. And oh, by the way, some of the ridiculous things that happened in that game last night that could not be considered tanking, like Peraza trying to stretch what was clearly a single at Fenway into a double. And God knows what the hell happened on the Benintendi play. We'll get to all that next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Sports Hub. Zoe and Beetle in the office.
It's like a sweater without nipple covers.
In the car.
You smell bacon?
In the truck.
I'm definitely not stupid, Harvey.
Getting you through your work day on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Well, I first of all, I was never sick, so I don't think I've done anything wrong. You know, obviously, it's a tough bounce there, and unfortunately, you know, happened what happened, and I had to miss some times. You know, obviously, the protocol is to stay in quarantine, so unfortunately, I had to be locked down at home for a while. You know, there's nothing I can control. You know, obviously, take full responsibility for my actions, and sorry, but how I said, I'm finally back, and I feel good out there, and you know, can't wait to be back with the boys.
David Pastrnak yesterday, after rejoining his team, saying he takes full responsibility for why he had to go through a second 14-day quarantine. Are we buying his story?
But he wasn't sick, he said, though. See, that's the hard part. And then he also said, it's kind of out of my control. No, it's actually in your control. Now, there were the reports that he was out a couple places in the North End without a mask on with people and crowds.
Right.
Like, you control that. That's your decision to do that. Luckily, he's not sick, or he didn't get sick.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of, you can't have both. I'm glad he's back. He's your best player. You need him. If they're going to go on this run here, you're going to need this guy. And maybe that experience, along with a couple others that he's had in the past, are going to make him be a little more mature and grow up a little bit. That's all.
Well,
he's young. Don't forget, these guys are still young. They got a lot of money, and they think they're invincible. That's a problem. That's a problem in sports. You know, especially when you got a lot of baseball, young athletes, you think you're invincible. Basketball players, you see them warming up down there, all slapping. Careful with the slapping of five and the daps. I mean, who knows how this thing spreads?
Well, the story for Pastrnak is that because he had skated at a rink in Malden, prior to the end of their initial 14-day quarantine, that's both him and Kasha, who were required to quarantine for 14 days after returning from the Czech Republic. Because he broke the Phase 2 protocol in the NHL, did not follow the rules of quarantining for 14 days, and left home and went and played on the ice in Malden, him, Kasha, and other unknown players, not, I don't believe they're Bruins players. They were just other individuals that were out there skating with them. Because of that, he had to go for a second quarantine. He had to re-quarantine. That's the story we were given yesterday. I just go back to what the reporters had on the 17th when they talked to Bruce Cassidy. Let me read you Joe Hag's tweet from July 17th.
Sure.
That's what, 12 days ago?
Yeah. And the tone that came out of that building that day.
Yeah.
On the Zoom. Yeah.
Cassidy stressed absence of Pastrnak and Kasha had nothing to do with disciplinary action or photos of them in the North End or working out at other rinks earlier this week. It's health related. This isn't discipline against those two guys. We're not disciplining anybody. So if I'm understanding that, the head coach said 12 days ago it had nothing to do with the North End or being spotted at a rink in Malden skating earlier that week.
So then it's still medical protocol. Awareness, right?
Well, I'm saying he's specifically cited.
So, yeah, we took out the two possible places
where people think he could have got it. Right. Had nothing to do with him being at the rink. The story yesterday was he broke quarantine and went to a rink.
Right. And he's telling you, I'm not sick.
I'm just confused.
I'm testing.
Call me stupid, but I'm a little confused by that. Wait, I thought it had nothing to do with him going to the rink. I thought that wasn't why. I thought it was an actual health-related thing. And Pastrnak said yesterday, I wasn't sick, so I don't think I did anything wrong. Wait.
That's where the immaturity part.
Is he smart enough to understand the quarantine process?
Maybe it's a language thing, too.
That's a cop-out.
That is a cop-out. I'm trying to give him the benefit
complete
of the doubt here, okay?
Cop-out. Listen, you just came from out of the country. You got to stay put for 14 days. It's the NHL rules. We need you to stay here. Don't go anywhere for 14 days.
Just because you're not sick doesn't mean that this thing is a bad thing or you can't spread.
Right.
You just had the defensive signal caller that won three championships with a football team tap out for the season.
Listen, these are the rules. These are the rules. You've got to stay in wherever it is you live. You got to stay here for 14 days. You're self-quarantining. 14 days, you're up and running and you're back. So please, just stay put. Don't go anywhere. And he goes to the North End and he goes to the rink in Malden?
He wasn't sick, though. Yeah.
And he says, because I wasn't sick, I didn't do anything wrong?
Yeah, but he owns it.
But then simultaneously saying...
What are you owning then?
He said, quote, I take full responsibility,
so that means
while
you-
also in the same thing saying... But I didn't get sick, so I don't think I did anything wrong.
Okay, so as we nitpick through his comments, when you take full responsibility for something, that means you got in trouble for something. You owned the responsibility that what you got in trouble for.
Because what? It's just the right thing to say?
And somebody probably confronted you, reprimanded you for it.
I take full responsibility, but I don't think I was wrong. Well, which is it? It's one or the other.
What do you think, McCone? You're there laughing.
No, it's a joke. It's a cop-out. It's a complete cop-out.
I just think he's spinning right now.
Are Bruins fans defending him?
Yes, you need him. Yes, absolutely.
Well, no. I mean, defending the action, though. Of course you need him. You know, we're not talking about his level of play.
Based on who he is, and he's like a wild and frivolous. Yeah, like he's the wild child. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like we're getting to that point with Bruins fans.
It's talent. Yeah,
we blindly defend everything the players do.
Unbutton your shirt. Let's go,
right,
kid.
Marchand, blindly defend him.
Slick the hair back.
Pastrnak, blindly defend Pastrnak.
Unbutton that baby and let's go.
It's like blind defense of all these guys now.
Let's go get the cup.
You know what? He made it up there with the team. That's good. Not so much for Kasha. Who knows what the deal is there. But we'll see. There's another quarantine now because you flew on your own.
What are they going to do with the
cup? There for Kasha.
What are they going to do with the cup? You're going to be able to drink out of it? Like share it?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
It's going to be very much frowned upon.
Cup's going to be in quarantine too. That's going to be interesting when this is all said and done.
Right.
Yeah. Can't put a baby in it. Like some people like take them home, put babies in there. Some people put all kind of stuff in there.
Win it first.
That would be key. Yeah. Winning it would be a good thing to start with. Let's get to your calls on both the Red Sox and Bruins next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Now it's time for more of Zolak and Bertrand.
That's what you put in your mouth in the morning.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Talk to Daniel Wallach, sports legal expert, coming up at the top of the hour. In case you didn't know, Massachusetts is probably on the verge of legalizing sports betting.
Yeah!
The House passed the bill last night, part of the economic growth bill.
Gamble.
And sports gambling was a part of it, and it might be the best state law yet in the country as it relates to sports betting. We'll explain. We'll tell you why. Maybe we waited. And we complained about the wait, but that wait may have paid off big time for sports betting in Massachusetts. We'll get to that coming up with Daniel Wallach. Also, Brad Stevens today at 12:50. Let's talk to you about the Red Sox and also the Bruins and David Pastrnak. Chris is in the truck. Hi, Chris.
What's going on, guys? Happy hump day.
What's up, hump day?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just getting to the MLB. I just think even if the Red Sox were good, you look across the other sports teams, not even sports teams, but like the different leagues,
yeah.
I find there's a huge gap between like polarizing players. Like I don't see any real polarizing players in the MLB like there used to be. I'm going to hang up and let you guys say your thoughts on that.
I would say that's probably true. There's no Barry Bonds figure in the game anymore.
No.
Is there anybody you hate?
No. Is there anybody you love? Is there anybody you love?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah, there are plenty of those guys.
Mookie Betts.
Xander Bogaerts.
Shut up, McCon.
Mookie Betts. I'm going to tell I got more on that later, man. Mookie Betts. Hurts. Yeah, there's plenty of those guys in baseball.
Okay.
Plenty of guys you love, but who do you hate?
It should have been the Astros.
Who's the polarizing guy that you hate? Oh, I don't like Bregman. I think he's a prick.
See, I like
anyone
Bregman.
On the Astros.
Yeah, I, like I really I don't like the Astros I like at
those,
all.
I like those little prickly guys. He's like a Marshan. I like that.
Yeah,
but I don't hate him.
But that's not like a big enough player.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Oh, God.
Stanton.
I don't really hate him, though.
There's nothing like the Yankees in like the early
2000s. Yeah, no, there's nothing like it. Like,
I was watching some of that behind-the-scenes Portnoy stuff when he was down there with Trump, and then Trump had Mariano Rivera in to play catch. Yeah. He was doing some thing with the kids for baseball. And Rivera was shooting the breeze with Portnoy in the holding room there. And they're just standing there, and I'm like, look, that's Mariano Rivera. Like, and I'm like, they don't have guys like in baseball now, currently, like that, that those Red Sox-Yankee rivalries back then, they're like, you hated Paul O'Neill. You would hate
Paul O'Neill, Mike.
Gary Sheffield. You hated that you love Bernie Williams. Like, you respected Bernie Williams, you respected Jeter. You laughed at Brocious and the Knobloch staring at the ball when he threw it. Because it was giving me airmail.
I don't think I've ever hated a baseball player more than Paul O'Neill.
2-2 to Posada. Yeah. Yeah, see, like, there's your hate.
I think of my lifetime, I've never hated a player more than I hated that guy.
That's way more hatred than for, like, Bregman. Bregman, it's like a Pedroia, like, scrappy dude type thing with him. You know?
But there's not enough of those guys.
Right.
That's true. There's not enough guys the conversation of who do you hate.
There's no legends. There's because no hatred. There's no...
Hatred might be negative,
there's
but
no superstardom.
Passion.
Yeah.
It's passion.
Yeah, 100%. What it is.
Those guys are superstars, man. Legends.
Jeff in Vermont and Benintendi running from second base last night.
Hey.
Hello.
Hey,
hello.
Jeff.
Hello.
Hey, how are you this morning, guys?
Hey, good.
Good. Hey, you know, Benintendi did the right thing. I mean, all that second baseman had to do.
How do you watch that? Say he did the right thing.
Pop the runner.
How did he do the right thing? Explain that.
He put the ball in the air. The guy at
he didn't catch
didn't
it in the air.
He ran for home. So if you're the second baseman, okay. It just
all right. We're just going to hang up.
If you're coach
wrong.
If Coach Louth was in here, corporate Jim is corporate Jim today. If say we had Coach Louth come in, he had his whistle and his clipboard. And bases are loaded, and that happens, and the kid's on second, he gets caught in a run. Guess what? Corporate Jim or Coach Jim is going to be on at the second base. The guy on second base.
Everyone should understand. When Benintendi stepped off the bag, the play was over.
He's dead.
The play was already over.
Yeah.
If he just stood there, the play is over. And then the next batter comes to the plate. The play had ended, and Benintendi started running. Glenn in Greenfield. Hi, Glenn.
Hey, guys. Love your show.
Hi.
Listen, Cano should have quickly turned the double play. The inning would have been over. He should have quickly turned the double play. The inning was over, but I think he thought he caught the ball. So then he stepped on second, ran towards Benintendi. The only reason the run scored was Benintendi stayed in a pickle. So you really can't blame Benintendi. I think everybody was confused.
Hard for me to believe that'd be Benintendi's intention, that I'm going to do this just to make sure they had to get the
I don't think Benintendi did that on purpose. I'm not giving him credit for it.
You know, there's no credit for that. Like
he was confused. He's right, though. There was
the guy on third broke right away for home.
Yeah, I thought he did, too. And I don't think that there was enough time to turn the double play, either. I don't think there was. So we'd have to go back and watch. I'd want to watch it again. But, no, he doesn't get any credit for that. Let's go to Nick and Peabody. Hi, Nick.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Hey, good.
Love the show. Sup, Joe?
What's up, man?
Hey, a whole lot. I could talk to you guys about all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, me too.
Let's do it.
I got another 3.5 hours. What do you got?
I took some notes here. I'm actually at work in Swamp Scott on my headphones. I listen to you guys every day working on cars. I love it.
Thank you.
Mike Lynch is from Swamp Scott, right?
Who is it?
Lynchy. Mike Lynch. He's from Swamp Scott.
Mike Lynch, yeah.
Yeah. Charlie Baker lives down there, too, right?
All right, so enough.
He does. But, yeah, I love it. So, you're funny, man. So, the way this team's being managed, right, is absolutely atrocious. I can't agree with you guys more about the debacle of a pitching staff we have here. You know, it's not a rotation. There isn't one anymore. It's demoralizing, like Remy's saying. And this manager is like Casper the coach, man. The guy's got no emotion at all. There's no team camaraderie. No one's happy. We can all see it. And changing the lineup on a daily basis, that ain't going to help whatsoever.
I think
good batting average. He's not even letting guys get 10 at bats consistently with the lineup.
Yeah, Nick, I think you're right. He is a sort of a soft-spoken guy.
Yeah.
He's sort of dull. Not a lot of fire there.
I know it's a sport, and a sport likes these type of people. I'm always big on, and I think that's what I kind of dug about Cora. It's like, suck it. How many Yankees, when he got after the Yankees, or, he gets it. Like this guy's, bats will come around, and pitching will be okay. But, the lineup gets set down. I get some numbers, and we talk to our medical staff, and I'm like, oh, God.
If you get 15 games in and you have a terrible record for any team, but we're talking Red Sox, guys are going to say, oh, if this thing is played to a completion and we survive coronavirus without a bubble.
Do they really want him back?
No. They're going to be saying, let's just please, God, get these 45 games over with, please. Let's just please get this thing over with as fast as possible.
Man, there's 3.5, 4-hour ones at the end. And the thing is, trying to play it out.
When you have that manager who doesn't really inspire anything in anybody, that just makes it worse. At least if you had someone like Cora, I feel like guys like Cora brought the best out of people, despite his cheating ways.
Yeah.
Personality-wise, he'd bring out the best in a player. He'd keep guys engaged. He's younger. He's energetic. All those are all the things that Cora had going for him.
Reneke had a little more on...
Reneke has none of those things going for him. Yes.
He had a little more on Benintendi last night.
Oh, okay. Yeah, let's hear that.
He'll get there.
Oh!
That is Reneke summed up.
That's the brain surgeon.
Get there.
What's his name?
Ben Carson.
What can't he? Yeah.
That's not actually Ron Reneke.
Sounds like him.
Very similar delivery, though.
Yeah.
He'll get there.
Eric in Winthrop. Hi, Eric.
Hey, I get a Red Sox sport, but real quick, one of the jokes from yesterday. What's a Pirate's favorite letter? Everybody guesses R, but that's not right. Tis the C.
We can do more jokes today too. I'm feeling better after that joke period. I'm having a good day so far.
I trust Chaim Bloom. The poor guy inherited a Dombrowski team, which means you have a huge payroll, no farm system, and your stars are leaving. They've all fled.
Okay. Do you think he's tanking?
I don't think they have to. Just roll the balls out, and you're going to lose.
Well, I don't think they're doing everything possible to win games. That lineup last night is proof of it. Oh, he hung up.
And he traded the stars.
Why'd he hang up? What's that?
He traded the stars.
Yeah, it wasn't the other guy. He was the guy who did it.
Poor guy inherited a payroll.
Poor guy inherited money. And well, you know what, though? I don't hold that against him. I mean, he was given an edict by ownership, right? You have to trim and you have to get us under and you got to make trades. So I don't blame him for doing that. That's what his bosses are telling him to do. I just want to know if he's tanking. If he's intentionally going to run this team into the ground this year with, the bum of the month club every night in the rotation. Like, is that what we're doing? It's just like, picking guys' names out of a hat to see who's going to be the starter on a given night.
Credit card roulette.
Because they can't keep just rolling these guys out there.
You didn't like Matt Hall last night?
Nope. Don't want to see him again.
Was he a righty or lefty?
Lefty. Lefty. Don't want to see him again.
I think I missed him because I didn't tune into after he was gone.
Don't want to see
what
that
What did he last week? Going three? He get into third?
I don't even know. It was not impressive.
Oh, man. You know who needs to get into the rotation? Brandon Workman. That's who you got to get in there. We'll talk to Daniel Wallach. He is a sports legal expert. He's got all kinds of insight into Massachusetts on being on the verge of legalizing sports betting. We'll talk to him coming up right after headlines. No commercials here.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.